All right. If our kiddos have the handout, then you will know that what we're going to have on the screen in just a moment is going to correspond to the blanks. So you can fill in the blanks on your handout using the information on the screen here in a second. Have you ever been in a really big, really bad storm? I mean, the really scary kind. You know, there's lots of thunder, lots of lightning, the rain is pouring down, and maybe somebody in your house has turned on the weatherman. And, you know, there's no commercials, whatever was supposed to be on TV isn't on. It's just the weatherman who's on. And he starts saying things like, if you live in this community, take shelter now. Get in your safe spot. We've heard that before, right? Boy, there's nothing that makes us feel quite so helpless. Sometimes mom and dad can come in and make everything okay. And I guess that's comforting in the middle of a storm. But at the same time, mom and dad can't make the storm go away. That storm just has to roll right on through. Jesus was in a storm. Well, really his friends were in a big storm. Jesus was there too. But he wasn't quite as afraid as his friends were. That's our story for tonight. Now, we sang a song a minute ago, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, and write on my heart every word. This is the story that is the most important story of all time. Now, the whole Bible talks about Jesus, and really the entire biblical story is the story of Jesus. But this year, we've been talking about just Jesus' earthly life. And that's what we're doing tonight as we look at the fact that Jesus controlled. Those disciples were in a really big storm. So big that they thought the boat was going to sink. But Jesus showed them something really important. Now, when there's a big storm happening and the weatherman's on TV or on YouTube, if you're in Randall Hendricks' house, Ryan Hall, y'all, okay? So if that's going on, there's nothing anybody can really do. The weatherman can't do anything. Mom and dad can't do anything. Nobody can do anything to make that storm go away, to make it all stop. But Jesus could control the weather. And tonight we're going to see he controlled the winds, the waves. We have five blanks because the first thing has two blanks. You know what I'm saying? All right, here's the first two. Here's what I'm getting at. Jesus was with them in the storm. Jesus was with them in the storm. Now, if I come to Mark chapter 4 and I open up my Bible to verse 35, it says that evening has come. Now, the whole chapter 4 of Mark records Jesus teaching the people in parables. You know, Jesus loved to tell stories. He was a really good storyteller. And Jesus has been teaching them all day. And the Bible says that Jesus said to his friends, let's go across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, Jesus has already been in the boat this whole time. This is pretty cool, okay? Nowadays, it'd be really hard to find a teacher who's teaching from a boat while everybody else is on the land. I want to try this sometime, just preaching, you know? Maybe we can get out Gene Record Park, y'all can push me off in that little pond thing, and I can be in a boat. And the rest of y'all can be on the land, and I can pretend like I'm Jesus. All right. There were so many people that there wasn't enough room on the shore for Jesus to stay there. So he got in a boat, and they pushed him out a little bit, and Jesus preaches from the boat. That you don't have to have one of these to preach. Isn't that amazing to know? You could preach in a boat. Amen. So Jesus is preaching from a boat. And that's why in our text, in Mark 4, verse 36, it says, leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. He is already in the boat. And he says, come on, I want us to go over to the other side. Now, do you remember what we've talked about before? Jesus knows everything. Jesus knows what's going to happen even before that stuff happens. Jesus knows that they're about to be in a storm. Let's go across to the other side. The Sea of Galilee is kind of an interesting thing. It sits down here, And everything around it is sort of like hilly and almost mountainous, and it all comes down right there. And if a weatherman were here, a meteorologist, or a weatherwoman, I suppose, but if a meteorologist were here, they might explain to us how quickly storms can arise in a situation like that. You got this body of water down here. You've got a lot of wind and stuff that's coming over these hills, this hilly area around in Israel and Palestine. And boy, the difference in elevation, the sea level, all of that combined together makes it to where storms can just pop up like nothing. I mean, really, really quickly. And it seems like that may have been what's happening here. They're going their way across to the other side, and Jesus was with them all along, knowing that something's going to take place. There's going to be a big storm. Hold that thought for a minute, and let me tell you something about storms. You don't have to be in a boat to experience a storm. You're like, well, yeah, I guess most of the storms I've ever experienced have not been in a boat, right? Most of the storms I've experienced have been when I've been at the house. Have you noticed that it seems like more storms come at night, especially the bad ones, than during the day? Isn't that kind of weird? At least they're scarier at night than they are during the day. Except for Wednesdays at noon when the alarm goes off, whether it's storming or not, right? Anyway, that's a fun Henderson thing. I love that. That's how I know it's time to go eat lunch. Anyway, so here they are at nighttime, and here's this storm that pops up. But I want to talk to you about storms a minute, because it's possible that we can have all sorts of kinds of storms in our lives. Here's what I mean by that. Scary things happen in life all the time. Sometimes we call those storms. In fact, Rhett, when he was praying for us a minute ago, offered a prayer and mentioned storms in our lives. And that's not just the stuff that can make you wet if you go outside and stand in it. We're talking about difficulties in life, troubles. Have you ever been through something hard? Storms can look like being afraid of the dark. Storms can look like worrying about school. Storms can look like feeling left out, all alone. Just like the disciples, sometimes we feel really small and powerless. I can't do anything about this. But you know, Jesus was with them the whole time. Following Jesus doesn't mean that we're not going to have storms. Sometimes we might pray that the storms might miss us. You remember on Car Care Day back in April? This whole church prayed that it wouldn't rain until we were done. And do you know it didn't rain until we were done? I'm not saying God directly answered that prayer, but it sure does seem like He did, doesn't it? Sometimes we can pray about those things, and maybe we can avoid them. But sometimes we're going to have to go through the storm anyway. Just because we follow Jesus doesn't mean we won't have hard times. But Jesus will always be with us in those times. He will always be with us. Here's number two. Are you ready? Jesus was asleep in the storm. He slept right through it. Now, I know the way some of y'all sleep. Some of y'all have slept right through storms before, too. It may have sounded like there was a monster truck outside your house, but you probably slept right through it. You never even knew what was going on. Jesus was asleep in the storm. The Bible says in Mark 4:37 that it was a great windstorm. A great storm. Luke says, if we were to flip over to Luke's account of this, over in Luke chapter 8, verse 23, that the storm came down, which I think has to do with like this pop-up storm kind of activity. So here's the Sea of Galilee that's kind of sitting down, and the storm just sort of popped up all of a sudden right there. Suddenly off of like Mount Hermon, down into the Jordan Valley, into the Sea of Galilee, violently at its depth of 682 feet below the Mediterranean Sea. Mark says it was a great windstorm, and the waves were breaking into the boat. Now, I just want you to imagine that you were in a boat like this. What do you think the boat would be doing if it were in a body of water that was encountering a great windstorm. Do you think it'd be real calm? Or do you think it'd be tossing all over the place, right? And then what do you think the waves are going to be doing? You know, it's not just that the boat kind of floats as the waves go up and down, but also the waves can crash up against the boat, the side of the boat. Do you remember what the jobs of the disciples were before Jesus said, come and follow me? Not all of them, but some of them were fishermen. You think they've ever been on a boat before? You ever think they've ever been on a boat in a storm before? I think they probably had. But this storm was scary. Scarier than maybe others. And here's that storm, and here are those waves that are breaking into the boat, and the boat is starting to fill up with water. That's not good. What happens when a boat fills up with water? Well, it sinks. That's not good. And so they're looking around. What are we going to do? Where is Jesus? And verse 38 says, he was down in the ship, in the stern, asleep on a pillow. That's a good place to sleep. If you've got a boat, you've got a pillow, you're good to go. Jesus wasn't afraid of the storm. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows what it's like to get tired? You ever get real tired? Like when the preacher just keeps preaching and you didn't get your nap that afternoon because you had Bible bowl at 4 o'clock? Just hypothetically speaking, of course. Some of you are living this right now. Jesus knows what it's like to be really, really sleepy. And so he fell asleep there. Sometimes we may be scared and we may wonder, where is God when I'm afraid? Why isn't God helping me? Why doesn't God take this away? Some of you kiddos are going through some tough stuff right now. Maybe you've got family members who are really sick. Maybe there's things going on in your life you don't fully understand right now. Maybe you look around and you think, I don't know why people around me sort of seem to be worried about things. Listen, just because you don't see God fixing something right away doesn't mean that he doesn't care. It doesn't mean that he's not there or that he isn't in control. Jesus was calm because he knew the storm is not as strong as he is. The storm is not stronger than Jesus. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 4, verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Sometimes we may be scared and we may think, it feels like the Lord is asleep during our storms. He's silent. He's not responding. But listen, his presence is always with us. It remains constant. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. All right, are you ready for point number three? This one's going to be fun, so stick with me. Jesus rebuked the storm. Now, I'm going to let you write that word down, and then I'm going to tell you what it means. Jesus rebuked the storm. You ever been running in the church building when your parents told you don't run in the church building? What happened after that? I'm going to tell you what happened. You were rebuked. That's what you were. You were rebuked. The official definition, if you look it up in the dictionary, is an expression of strong disapproval. You know what that means? Get on to. If your parents have to get on to you, that's an expression of strong disapproval, isn't it? What happens if your parents ever use all three of your names, first, middle, and last? All right. That's called rebuke, all right? Severely rebuked. We've all been there. Well, Jesus wasn't rebuking the disciples, at least not yet. Not here. Jesus rebukes the storm. Look at how all this went down. The disciples were looking around for Jesus. Well, he's asleep on a pillow down in the boat. And so they woke him up. This tells us something about just how scary this storm really is. Here's these disciples. Some of them used to be fishermen. They're scared out of their minds. They don't know what to do. They go and wake up Jesus. Jesus, listen to what they say. Do you not care that we are perishing? Let me tell you what perishing is a big word. Let me tell you what that means. Jesus, we're going to die, and it doesn't seem like you care. Get up and do something. Don't you care that we're about to die here? How can you be asleep? Jesus awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, he said three words, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The storm obeys the voice of Jesus. All the way back in January, when we started this series on the story that shapes us, I told you that Jesus didn't just start existing when he was born on earth. Jesus has always existed. This part kind of makes my brain hurt a little bit, but it's true. Jesus has always existed. He was known as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, John says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says, he made everything that exists. So Jesus had a part in creating everything. And do you remember what the Lord did when he was creating everything? You remember studying Genesis 1 and 2 and the days of creation? It's not that God had to get out hammer and nails and wood and start, you know, building stuff. He just spoke. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, I want the waters to divide and let dry land appear. And you know what? The waters obeyed, and the land did too. Here in Mark chapter 4, when the disciples are on this boat that's being tossed around by the waves, Jesus looks at the wind and the waves, and he says, shh, be quiet. Peace, be still. And everything stopped. Even nature obeys Jesus. That tells us something pretty amazing about who he is. Okay. Need your help. Are you ready? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take just a moment to try and appreciate how that must have been when it went from a lot going on to calm. But this isn't VBS. This isn't the Bible classroom right now. We're here in the auditorium, so we want to be respectful. So I want you to help me with something. I need your help making a little noise. Now, here's how we're going to do this. Wait for me to tell you what we're doing before you start making the noise. We're not going to scream. In fact, we're not going to do anything with our mouths. I just wonder if maybe you could sort of pat on your legs, or maybe stomp on your feet where you're sitting, or maybe beside you on the pew, just sort of kind of hit a little bit on the side of the pew. Now, we're going to need everybody to do this, not just kiddos. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to have our brave and fearless youth minister, Jared Gott, come up here, and he is going to help us to simulate what it must have been like when Jesus said, peace be still. So sound guys, we're going to need this microphone unmuted in a moment, please. And Jared, if you'll come on down, you're today's big winner. Jared's going to help us in a couple of ways here in just a moment. Now, we're going to do this a few times. Jared is going to pretend to be Jesus in this scenario, all right? Jared tries to be like Jesus, and so this is good for him to pretend like this right now. Here's what we're going to do. What are you doing? You okay?
I'm agreeing.
Good. When Jared says, peace be still, we're going to stop. And we're going to try and do it immediately when he says that, because that's the way the winds and the waves did it. Do you think it all kind of calmed down slowly, or do you think it was immediate? I think it happened immediately. So we're going to try and do it immediately, and we're going to hear the chatter of everything, and then silence. All right? You ready to try it? This is going to be our practice run, okay? Does everybody know what they're doing? We're not screaming. We're not going to get up and do anything crazy. We're just going to sit right where we are. Some of us are going to do this, and some of us are going to do this, and some of us are going to do on the sides of the pews. And we're going to do that, and then when Jared is ready, he's going to say, "Peace, be still." So be watching and listening, and make sure you stop immediately when that happens. Are you ready? Okay, go. Pretty good, pretty good.
Peace, be still.
Hey, that was good. Now, that's kind of funny, wasn't it? Who would have thought we'd be doing this in Henderson? Anyway. Now, let's try that one more time. Did you notice how quiet it was there at first? I wonder what the disciples must have felt when it went from being so crazy that they are waking Jesus up. "Lord, don't you care? We're about to die. You got to do something." I imagine it was much louder than what we're able to do right now in this setting. And that's okay. We don't need to go any louder. But then there was silence. And let's see for just a minute, after Jared says, "Peace be still," and we're silent, let's sort of listen to the silence for a minute. Maybe we can get a little bit of a feeling of what it must have been like for the disciples when everything was still on the boat. All right, you ready to do it? This one's the for real one, okay? Are you ready for this? All right, go.
Peace, be still.
Wow. Can you imagine what they must have felt? Don't go far. Okay, thank you. Can you imagine what that must have been like? That here it is in the middle of the night, and they're on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm popped up out of nowhere, and everything is going crazy, and there's lightning, and there's thunder, and there's sun. You know, it almost sounded like it was raining outside just now, what y'all were doing. And then Jesus just said three words, "Peace, be still," and then nothing. It was quiet immediately. And all he had to do was rebuke the storm. Think about how powerful Jesus is. Think about how powerful God is. That all he has to do is say a word, and there's silence. In the Psalms, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still before God. Jesus' words are powerful. He doesn't need machines. He doesn't need armies. He doesn't need tools. He just uses his voice. So, I've asked Mr. Jared to do one more thing. Don't worry, we don't have to make any noises with the pews or our legs or anything. We're going to sing a song. And since Mr. Jared is one of our fearless VBS song leaders, and this is a song we tend to sing during VBS, I need your help singing a song. And the song is, "My God is So Big." So let's think about the words of this song. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that God cannot do. And then what do we say? The mountains are His. The rivers?
Yeah, so I know VBS kids will know this. Maybe some of you, we have the mountains are His.
Uh-huh.
The rivers are His. The stars are His handiwork too. Right. And then, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty."
Yeah.
"There's nothing my God cannot
do." We can do the hand motions too?
I think so.
Okay. All right. So let's think about Jesus and how He silenced the storm while we sing this song together.
All right.
All right.
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God
So think about this. When you're scared, you can pray to God. The same God who controls the weather. And when you pray, you know, Jesus is helping us to pray. We get to pray because of what Jesus has done. And so the same Jesus who said, "Peace be still," is a part of that prayer that we're praying as we're reaching out. And remember, Jesus can say to your heart, whatever it is that's making you feel worried, whatever it is that's making you feel scared, Jesus can say, "Peace, be still." And it's just like when we stop making that noise. And it's just like when the storm suddenly stopped that night on the Sea of Galilee. And you can remember that simple little song. There's nothing my God cannot do. Here's the fourth blank. Are you ready? Boy, you're paying attention so well. Jesus used the storm. He used the storm. Here's what I mean. Jesus made it where that storm turned into an opportunity to learn. He wanted to teach us. He wanted to teach them something from that storm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" The disciples had been scared of the storm. But after this, they look at Jesus and it says that they were filled with great fear. Now they're even more afraid, but because of something altogether different. It's not just the storm that's the issue anymore. Now they're thinking, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this guy? How can he do this?" You know that Jesus is able to do anything. Anything within the bounds of his Father's will. They hadn't fully grasped who Jesus is yet. But he teaches them here that he's God. Only God can calm a raging sea. Sometimes what we need is not for the seas to be calmer, but for our vision to be clearer of who Jesus is. Sometimes we need to go through the hard stuff. Because when we're scared, we learn to trust God more. When we're afraid, we learn to put our faith in God. When we see Him as Lord of everything, which means He's in charge of it all, then our fears begin to shrink. Jesus used this storm to prepare them for bigger storms. There were going to be other difficulties that would come their way. And they would be ready for it, in part because Jesus was helping them in this moment. Every storm you face, every difficulty, every moment of fear has the potential to be an opportunity to know Jesus better. Not just as a good teacher. Jesus is a good teacher. He's the best teacher. But also as the one who's in control of everything. What you're going through today might be helping you for even something greater tomorrow. But the same Jesus is present and powerful in all of it. So trust Him, even when things feel scary. If Jesus can calm the sea, then He can bring peace to your heart. If Jesus rules the storm, then He can rule your life. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Jesus in fair weather, but also in every storm? Will you let Jesus be the Lord of your life, and will you allow Him to control you just like He can control all the other things that He created? Jesus wants your life. He wants you to always follow Him. And if you will, then He will never leave you. He will help you to find peace even when you're afraid. Tonight, If there's anybody here who is not a Christian, I hope that our message, while it's been aimed at our kiddos, has been something that's spoken into our lives in a very real way. Jesus calms the storms of our lives. Why would I not want to submit my life and my will to His, since He controls everything? If you're ready to become a Christian, we're ready to assist you in baptism tonight. We've got clothes into which you can change, towels that you can use when it's finished. The water's prepared. Everything's ready. Is your heart ready to give to the Lord? And tonight, if you as a Christian need prayers, need strength, need encouragement, need to come back and recommit your life to the one who wishes to give you peace, then we're singing to encourage while we stand and sing.